Freeing all from the bondage created by rebellious, oppressive, malicious angels. And from that step, the doctrine that Paul had taught could be smeared with a demonic, satanic source caricature until you would fear to even raise the argument, or you're a heretic. Simon Magnus appears to have reached Rome before people became fully conversant with Jesus' claim to be the Messiah, and with the account of his death, resurrection, and ascension. Most of those in Rome hadn't heard about it. Thus, Simon could claim himself to be the Savior, indeed an incarnation of God himself. After the gospel story became common knowledge, later Gnostic teachers would no longer claim to be the Christ, but only seek to work him into a suitable place in their speculative systems. To the extent that Jesus was presented as the Christ seemed an atrocity. Simon taught that his crucifixion and death had taken place in appearance only, just as Simon himself was God in reality and a man in appearance only. Thus provides the introduction to what is known as docetism, from the Greek dokeo, to appear or seem, the doctrine that tells us Christ only seemed to be a human being. And that was the first great heresy, calling forth the first and earliest formal Christian creed, that of Ignatius of Antioch. File that away in your brain for a moment. Now I move to Marcion. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Although docetism is named as the first heresy, Marcion, the great synthesizer and simplifier, seized on a single aspect of the New Testament, the conflict between faith and law, right. Now, having laid the groundwork with Simon, Marcion comes on the scene, seizing on the conflict between faith and law, which so am I. And it was the conflict of the New Testament, made it into a fundamental principle that dominates everything. Once again, central pivotal truth, even more important than the other one. The other one was used to relatively argue the importance of grace. Now Satan's going to move into the territory of the first principle itself, the issue on which the gospel will revolve, the issue that will save totally, that which Christ came to bring. But Satan's got to do something. Marcion comes from Asia Minor, namely from Sinope on the Black Sea. His year of birth is not known. It may be put at about the end of the first century. Now I'm reading from Gnosis, Kurt Rondorf. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
His year of birth not known, it may be put at about the end of the first century. From his father, he took over the profession of shipowner. If the report is correct that his father was at the same time bishop of the local Christian community, then he grew up in a Christian tradition. It remains obscure whether or not this Christianity was of a type, Paulinism, for example, characteristic of his later views. Later, he was probably active in the western coastal cities of Asia Minor, such as Ephesus and Smyrna, which were old Gnostic centers. Perhaps Perhaps here already there were dissensions within the Orthodox community authorities. It is said that especially Polycarp of Smyrna, to whom Ignatius wrote one of his letters, inveighed against him and called him firstborn of Satan. It is certain that Marcion appeared in Rome about 139 or 140 A.D., a decade or two after Ignatius, bishop of Antioch, and attached himself to the local congregation, to which he donated part of his large fortune. Here he apparently finally elaborated his new teaching. According to information from the heresiologist, mostly Irenaeus, under the influence of the Syrian Gnostic Cyrdo. Cyrdo lived in Rome under the Roman bishop Heginus about 136 to 142. He advocated the antithesis, not unknown to the Gnostic views, of the Old Testament God of creation and the good God of Christ's tidings. Now, whether or not Cyrdo picked this up from Simon when he arrived in Rome is not known. Too hot in here. Turn the lights down. But already the message had been aborted and twisted, or not aborted, caricatured and twisted. The thesis that the law was given to angels is now twisted through Simon and others to the premise that these were malicious angels who had rebelled against God, ignoring totally, because it hadn't been written yet. The argument, really hot in here, the argument that was given in Hebrews that God honored the word. You see how the twist is? Hebrews says, if the word given by angels was honored, how much more the word given by the superior one, Christ, will be honored. Hebrews doesn't polarize them as bad angels. But Simon does that twist. Not only angels gave the law, but they're bad angels. Paul, when he argues, doesn't have angels responsible for the entire Old Testament. He is contrasting that given by angels, the law, with that given directly by God without a mediator to Abram, the promise. So he's not condemning the entire Old Testament. In fact, he's not condemning the law. He's just arguing a relativity of importance of the messenger. A hierarchy of importance. But the twist given by Satan's messengers now is they're bad messengers, bad angels, and the whole Old Testament came from them. Planted somewhere in Rome through Cyrdo, it comes to Marcion. Marcion's attempts to gain recognition for his views at a synod in Rome failed. And he was rebuffed. Now, I'm going back to Antioch, but you'll understand Antioch, which is kind of heavy, a bit better when I show some of the fruit. We'll dig the roots of the tree after we look at some of the fruit. Marcion's attempts to gain recognition for his views at a synod in Rome failed, and he was rebuffed. This happened in July 144, a date that for the Marcionites is the date of the foundation of their own church. We have no information about Marcion's later fate. Apparently, he was indefatigable in working for the expansion of his newly created church and theology in the Roman Empire. Already in about 150, the apologist Justin complains of his influence and puts him side by side with Simon Magus, the magician, Simon the sorcerer we've already looked at, and the one I skipped over, Menander. It may be assumed that Marcion died in about 160 A.D. The essential point of his theology is the absolute antithesis of the God of law and the God of salvation. The former is the God of the Old Testament who created the world and who rules it with the full rigor of the law, which is based on retaliation. He is just, but without mercy and goodness. He is therefore imperfect and despicable, and the same is true of his creation. In contrast to him is the good and strange God, who resides unknown above the lowly God of creation in his own heaven. His essence is perfect goodness and mercy. In other respects, he cannot be defined more closely, for our earthly limitation is incapable of it. Against his background, the narrowness and imperfection of the God of this world, Demiurge, become manifest. Now you're seeing the roots of the viewpoint of the Albigensians we encountered in Holy Blood, Holy Grail in the south of France, who viewed the creator of this world as the Demiurge. Marcion saw in the description of these contrasts one of his main concerns and sought to substantiate them from the Bible in a treatise with the title Antithesis, contrasting the entirely differently oriented revelation of the New Testament with the Old Testament. This revelation alone is the work of the strange God. He sent his son Jesus into the world of hopelessness and misery in order to save men from it. The body which he bore was only a phantasm. Back to Simon again. Docetism again. Without it, his entry into the evil world would have been impossible. But in it, this fantasy or appearance, he suffered the death on the cross which the Creator God had ordained for him without knowing him. Before returning to his Father, he descended into Hades in order to do there too his work of salvation. It is noteworthy that those delivered by him belong to those who were condemned in the Old Testament. He went into Hades and delivered Cain, the Sodomites, the Egyptians, and all Gentiles, while the righteous of Jewish history, falsely presented to us through this evil, subordinate, angelic God, Demiurge, they stay in the underworld. The work of Christ is understood by Marcion, who follows Paul primarily as redemption, as payment of a debt, in contrast to the code of criminal justice of the Demiurge. It is a pure act of mercy which is quite unintelligible for the earthly world. The acceptance of Christ's work and thus of salvation is realized for man by faith and by the resulting rejection of the law, as well as by a severely ascetic way of life. Marcion saw in the Sermon on the Mount, especially in the Beatitudes, the essential point of the message of Jesus. In order to give to his community an authoritative base of Scripture, he was the first in history to draw up a canon, approved list of the New Testament. It was rigorously selected and arranged according to his basic principles and consisted of the Gospel of Luke, which he purified of its Jewish elements, 10 Pauline epistles, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans 1, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Against this purified gospel, the church soon fixed its own canon of Scripture. And Marcion, I believe in the principle that God enters into all things to work his good. It was Marcion's heretical list, concentrating on Paul, limiting the gospel record to Luke, purged of its Jewish elements, that forced the church to come up with a contrary canon. Without Marcion saying, "This is it," the church would not have said, "No, this is it." You see, the Holy Spirit didn't come down and say, "You and you and you and you and you go to a church council because I've ordained you to canonize Scripture." Marcion became the catalyst. Now, the work of Satan was pretty clear. He threw Simon and others, Menander. He took the doctrine of the law being given by angels and caricatured it into angels giving the entire Old Testament, a lesser God who had rebelled against the great God, unknowable save in Christ, and resulted in a total rejection of Scripture. Now, because Paul and his message was so important to the New Testament faith, Satan had to move into that territory and twist it. And having distorted the doctrine of angels and the doctrine of the Old Testament, they then, as angels of light, became the proponents of Paulinism, mixed with their other errors so gross that it put Paul himself in the danger of being rejected by the rest of the church in their reaction. And it is to the credit of the church in their canonizing that the fact of Marcion's use of Paul did not cause them to reject Paul completely. Satan's pretty good, isn't he? He comes along with Jerry the Fat and Jimmy the Jerk to turn the whole world off on Christianity. He never changes his methods. The fundamentalist right is closer to the false prophet position as the mouthpiece of Satan than anything in the 20th century. They will do more to turn the world off on Christianity than all the sinning in the world will do. Interested in what I'm doing?
Yes, sir.
Is it opening any eyes? How'd we get the inerrant word of God? You want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
You better get on the telephone then. Music, please. The right report, but to show you the importance of the battle that we're fighting, I am told that on Nightline tonight, folks that have seen it already on the East Coast are saying, someone said, isn't there something that the FCC can do about the TV evangelists raising money on TV? And someone, no one yet has told me who said that. I'd like whoever saw Nightline on the East Coast to tell me who said it. That someone said, yes, the FCC got Dr. Scott off the air. You see the war, folks? Now, I wish somebody tell me who said that. Who? Oh, Paul Roper is the, that's hardly the source to be very dignified. He's the one allegedly that represented Jessica Hahn. Carry on, music. I guess that ought to say something about the truth of what is being said. I'm still on. I didn't know I was off the air. So much for the credibility of Roper. Places. I understand on Nightline tonight, the fellow who represented Jessica Hahn, who set out to bring down various preachers that he decided to bring down by his announcement, who I understand is under charges for fraud from his work with Mr. Block and his Savings and Loan Corporation, according to the LA Times, announced on Nightline tonight that the FCC took me off the air. Well, so much for Nightline and Mr. Roper's credibility. I mean, I think I'm here. I wonder whom else they're going to sweep into this witch hunt of unsubstantiated and abounding charges. Shades of Puritan New England. Shades of the Inquisition. Where went the Christian principle? Let him that's without sin among you first cast a stone at her. Great credibility these news people have sunk to in their constant broadcasting of unsubstantiated and baseless charges. So much for that. Welcome to you that just joined us. I think I'm here. I think this is me. I didn't know I was off. Some people don't know the difference between appearance and reality. Give me the honky-tonk blues. And if you're glad that I'm here, get on the telephone call, all of you that I've been teaching these many years. Thank God I'm not a television evangelist or a witch hunter. They deserve each other. They're on telephone. You that are looking at me and can't see that I'm here, don't bother to call. But if you're looking at me and, by cracky, I'm here, get on the telephone. Play it again.
Step now, with the honky tonk blues.
getting messages such as, this is a good sample, Nashville, Tennessee. I was watching Nightline and I heard that they, the FCC, have taken Dr. Scott off the air in California. Is this true? Well, you're watching in Nashville, so you probably are not sure. Here's the TV guide, April 25th to May 1st. April 25th to May 1st, 1987. Here's Sunday, 2 p.m., Channel 56, get in close. Channel 56, Dr. Gene Scott, 3 hours. Huh. Isn't that interesting? And then we go over here. So you can look at it and see for yourself. I'm on channel 30. I'll show you that from the LA Times. 10:30 to 12. 4:30 to 6. 9 p.m. to 1, what's that add up to? 6 hours a day? Yeah, I'm on 6 hours a day on channel 30. 7 hours, 9 to 1. 7 hours a day on channel 30? That's the complete number. On channel 38 in San Francisco? I think a bunch of you ought to write Nightline, tell them check their facts. I will. Let this be a commentary on the looseness of the reporting. You got the TV guide? Where is it? Don't you know how to open it? Monday TV log. L.A. Times. Come on, cameraman. Stanford University, 1957. Where'd he obtain it? Stanford, I just told you. Nashville. Nightline just said that you were taken off the air in California by the FCC. Is that true? No, it's not true. Paul Roper, apparently, I'm told, said it. Here's today's L.A. Times. L.A. Times, tonight on TV, Monday, April 27th, 1987, Channel 30, Dr. Gene Scott continues from 9 p.m. Well, isn't that interesting? That's Channel 30. Here's TV Guide, April 25th, May 1st. Wonder if they got a printing error. I think I'm on. Sunday, 2 p.m., Channel 56. Dr. Gene Scott, 3 hours. So much for the reliability of that reporting. Maybe that is the best testimonial you can hear of how reliable all their reporting is. I don't know Paul Roper. I read in the LA Times that there were allegations against him of kind of wrongdoing with some savings and loan that he worked with Mr. Block on. I understand that I see his name in the paper, he's the one that allegedly represented Jessica Hahn, though he's not an attorney, I understand he's in training to be one. He must be studying a lot because he doesn't know I'm on TV in California. That statement is not true. In fact, I have a letter to Congressman Merv Dimely when someone raised a question whether or not there would be any stations create any problems or were any stations under any pressure not to have Gene Scott on them, because we had heard that rumor being circulated. And Chairman Fowler said no. Well, this sounds to me like a reckless and malicious disregard of truth to try to damage me by a statement that is simply not true. Of course, I haven't heard much that's true of late on the subject of religion. And those in whom the truth does not reside would like very much to have me off. Darkness doesn't like light. But I'm here. Somebody called from Hollywood and says, if it's true that you've been taken off the air, I want to know who's this guy sitting in Doc's chair smoking Doc's cigar and impersonating the doctor. Sometimes it takes something like this to wake people up. If that lie would be told, how can we believe anything else that's being told? Huh? In this witch hunt. Music. I think this is me. Put my name on the screen. Let me see if it's me. I'm all over California right now. Yeah, that's me. Thank you. Bonnievale, the fact that we are watching you on Channel 38 shows how blatant that lie is about your being off the air. Arlington, Washington. Tell my pastor that his signal is coming in loud and clear. He's coming in on my TV and somebody's lying. Furthermore, the FCC issued the license for our satellite broadcasting. We were teaching on early New Testament developments, the first heresies, and I was talking about Marcion. Now, Simon the Sorcerer was probably the first noted heretic. You encounter him in Acts 8. He took and twisted the teaching of Stephen and the teaching of Paul that the law was given. And it was a recognized teaching of the Jews. The law was given by the disposition of angels through the mediator Moses. Paul used that argument to point out that the promises given to Abram were by God direct with no mediator. Stephen used it to simply point out they didn't obey, not to depreciate that work of the angels. And I'm teaching how we, the church universal, developed through its early history. Simon then took that doctrine and twisted it to say that the first conception of God Noah created the angels, some of whom rebelled against God, another twist. And they imprisoned her in a human body, mortal body. And he, Simon the Sorcerer, was the power of God, dunamis, incarnate, personified in him, sent to save Noah, the original conception of God, a prostitute now through much reincarnation from Helen of Troy to Tyre. And in so doing, this was a type of what he would do for the world. To save the world. Men accept Simon, he delivers them from the bondage of the law, and he expanded the concept of the angels, twisted into malicious angels, into being the God of the Old Testament. And salvation was deliverance from that law through him. That's your Simon the Sorcerer. He went to Rome, propagated the theory. I remember seeing a movie years ago, and I can't think of the name of the guy that played Simon the Sorcerer. It was a pretty good movie. Dominating Rome with his magic, Jack Palance. He played Simon the Sorcerer, and he did a crackerjack job of it. Now, this teaching planted in Rome is encountered by Marcion. I'm going to read now from Schaff's Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge. It's easy. ABC, you go to the M's. Marcion. The facts of the early career of Marcion are difficult to establish. Now, the importance of Marcion is it's because of Marcion that the church, for its own survival, had to canonize the scripture. Marcion was the first to draw up a canon of scripture. One gospel, Luke, expunged by him of its Jewish elements. He was like Thomas Jefferson. If he didn't like it, he took it out. of Paul's epistles. The rest of it wasn't Bible, he said. He organized his church, a very wealthy man who gave a large portion of his money to the church at Rome, attempted in a synod in 144 AD to have his views accepted by the church. It was rejected. That becomes the birth date of the Marcionites, the church he founded. He was such an organizer, a persuasive man, wealthy, committed to his view, a systematizer, and presenting to the new Christians of the second century a canon of scripture based on Paul. Satan's attempt to move a caricature into the arena that the church might be turned off on Paul. And in order to survive, and it's a little too cold in here, in order to survive the fast growth of the Marcionites, the church had to canonize the scripture, because Marcion was saying, this is the true Bible. So the church had to come back and say, no, it isn't, this is. It is to the credit of the church and the power of the Apostle Paul and his ministry that Marcion's caricature of Paul did not cause Paul to be totally expunged from the scripture. The facts of the early career of Marcion, do you understand what I'm saying? God didn't come down and tell a bunch of preachers, thus saith the Lord, go have a council and canonize scripture. They did it as a desperate defensive move to the trumpetings of Marcion. God used the heretic. In spite of the devil having used him, God enters into all.